I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, I've made mention of the fact that it says there that the chief cornerstone talks about a stone that would cause a problem for those people who do not believe. And, of course, Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16 is a prophecy foretelling the laying of the chief cornerstone. And in that verse, in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." In other words, you're not going to be ashamed of the Lord. Then we go over to the book of Matthew, and we read something that took place there, that Peter was having a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" He was asking the apostles, "Who do people say that he is? And who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now listen carefully. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus is not saying here that Peter is the rock that the church is going to be built upon. Remember, Jesus said, who do people say that I am, but who do you say that I am? And the person that's being spoken of here is Christ. "Thou art the Christ," Peter said. And Christ goes on to say that he is well spoken. He has said what is right. And he says, "I will build my church upon this rock." He's speaking of himself. He's speaking of the foundation, the chief cornerstone. And once again, we read about that in the book of Isaiah. But now as we look on in verses 6 and 7, something I'd like to mention here is that let me read those verses together. And I think we need to read verses 6 and 7 once again. It says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Now, when we look at those verses, we see that to those who believe in Jesus, He is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And remember, we spoke of this, how that He is precious in God's sight, and He is also precious in our sight as our Savior. And verse 8 goes on to say, "Now, and a stone of stumbling," this chief cornerstone becomes a stone of stumbling, "and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." To those who do not believe in Jesus, He is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. When you speak to some people about the Lord, they immediately get irritated. They immediately start saying, "I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear anything about religion." Well, let me remind you that Christianity is not religion. Christianity is an acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. And once again, you're going to have those people, as you witness to them, you're going to have those people who look at you funny. They're going to find an offense. That you're going to be offensive to them. And really, you're not the offense. It's Christ who has become an offense, a stumbling block. In other words, you either accept Him for who He is and what He's done, or you turn your back on Him. And that's what verse 8 is talking about here. He's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And notice the appointed end of those who do not believe, according to verse 8. They stumble. They stumble. They don't know which way to go. They're just roaming aimlessly through this world. And they don't have any real foundation as such. Now, verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Remember who Peter's speaking to here. He's talking about the strangers and pilgrims who are wandering through this land, through the world. He's speaking specifically here to this local, or to these people who are scattered throughout these areas, these five Roman provinces that we've already discussed. But he's also speaking to us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christians are described by Peter as, first of all, a chosen generation. We have been chosen for a certain specific job to do. And once again, that is to present Jesus Christ. We are a royal priesthood. We can offer up prayers. We don't have to go to any specific human individual to get our prayers answered or to have them pray for us, because we in ourselves are of a royal priesthood. We are able to go to the Father and pray, our Father who art in heaven. Now that prayer, I was taught in school to pray that prayer, and many people grow up believing that God is the Father of all. But we know that He is the Creator, and without Him there was not made anything that was made. But at the same time, we need to understand that God is not the Father of all people. He is the Father of those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. And when we do that, we become part of the royal priesthood. Therefore, we can approach God, and we can offer up our prayers because we are of that royal priesthood. It says you're a holy nation. We're made up of individuals who comprise a nation, a group of people, Christians, the church, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and we are different. Once again, when people look at you in a funny manner and they start making fun of you, don't take offense at that, because we are different. We're a different people. We've been called out of this world. And as I mentioned earlier, in this study, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're not of this world. So therefore, people are going to look at us in a different way. Now notice here that Christians are to do something here in verse 9. They're to proclaim praises. Praises of what, or of whom? Of Him who called them out of darkness. We're to proclaim praises to Christ, who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 2, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember, in the early church, on the day of Pentecost, it was preached, the word of God was preached, and primarily there were Jews present there, and people got in their minds that the gospel was only meant for the Jews. But later on, we see how that Peter was told, no, it's not only for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. And also Paul, he went forth proclaiming the word of God, not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentiles. And the Bible itself says there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for you're all one in Jesus Christ. And that word Greek there to us means Gentile. But Christians are now, according to verse 10, God's people. And they are now the people of God who have obtained mercy. And that's the only way we become the people of God, is because of God's mercy. He has bought us back from the slave market of sin, and we are now redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you that all through the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and all through the Word of God, it talks about the blood of Christ. Now, if I were to divide the chapters up, this chapter up once again, verses 11 through 25, I would say that it's our duties in Christ. It shows our duties in Christ. Verses 11 and 12 says this, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, and this means your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be, or may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Well, as sojourners and pilgrims, Christians are to abstain from fleshly lusts. And these are the things which war against the soul. And this old body wants to do things that are wrong. And we need to be praying and asking God, God, Lord, deliver me from the body of this flesh in the sense of giving in to the lusts of the flesh. And let me remind you, lust does not only mean a sexual desire. It could mean any kind of desire that you put, anything that you want over and above our Savior or God here as we're looking at it. As sojourners and pilgrims, Christians are also to be respectable, above reproach. We're to have a good testimony before this world as we travel through it. And I remind you once again that He has called us out of darkness and He has called us into His light. And once we've seen that light and once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, our world changes because we are no longer part of this world, but we become part of the heavenly world. And one day we're going to be with the Lord forever. And when that happens, the Bible tells us that we're going to be made more and more like Him as we go through this life. But then when we see Him face to face, that's when our salvation is fixed. In other words, it is done. But it's as good as done right now. The Bible tells us that now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We don't understand it all. We keep studying. We look at the Word of God, and the more we look at it, the more excited we get about knowing that we are saved, we're on our way to heaven, and God gives us the courage, the ability to carry on in this world, to do His will, to carry out what He would have us to do. And along the way, He gives us the joy that we need. He lifts us up, and He takes care of us. And I trust that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to ask Him to come into your heart today if you've never done that. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I know I can't save myself. I want to go to heaven. I receive you as my Savior. If you are saved, you need to be serving Him today. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him to guide you. Get into His Word. Study the Scriptures.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.